Count It All Joy preaching series from number 9, Living by Trust in God. So Alan's going to be preaching out of that today, but I'd like you to put your hands towards him and let's just bless him and welcome God's word. And so we do that, Lord Jesus. We welcome your word here today in our midst, right? Jesus, will you just come and strengthen us through your word? Will you bring light and revelation? We bless you, Alan. We bless you as you share. We thank you for your love for Jesus and your love for the body of Christ. And we welcome that through your word here today. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay.
Oh, it's good to be here. I just want to say that James was one of the very, very first books ever written for the Bible. Before the Bible came into being for the New Testament, everybody met together and talked about what they knew about Jesus. And they shared the meal together, the common meal. And James was written about 1 AD. And I think it was probably the first book, or other than maybe Mark was before that, I'm not sure. But anyway, today we're going to read from James chapter 4, and it's a continuation of what really I spoke about a month ago. Yeah. And it's James chapter 4, verses 11 to 17. So I'd like to do the first four verses. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or a sister judges them and speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There's only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? And I looked at this and I took it very, very seriously because I looked at what is going on in our world. And we see people on their phones texting and saying things that are so counter to everything that we believe and so counter and destroying people, being anonymous about it and destroying people and causing suicides and causing great damage to people's lives and belittling them and tearing them apart. And I looked at this and I thought, boy, I got an answer for every word. I got an answer for every thought. I got an answer for everything I've written down. And I have got to really stop and think about what I'm saying from now on. Because Jesus really put it in black and white through James that we are not to judge. But we can have times where we have to say, well, that's not right. And that's okay. We can disagree with someone. But we don't put it in ways that makes that person feel small or feel inadequate, or feel lost, or broken because of what we say. We're called to lift one another up. If I say something to someone, I don't want it to be so that it's going to destroy them. I want it to be built up. Even if they've done wrong, you can point out the wrong to them. Say, this is how we can correct it. Will you let me help you correct it? That's not judging. That's lifting them up. That's bringing them into where you want them to be. We find that fear masquerades as wisdom. Political and religious systems work because of fear of man and each other. So we're not working from a position of fear. We're working from a position of love and correction and life. And I thought what the last song that David sang today was very apropos. He said, draw me near, draw me into you, draw me near to you. draw me closer to you. Because when I'm drawn closer to Christ, there's that check in my system. Like, I don't know if you know some pumps and valves a bit, but when you're taking water into a pump, there's a check valve in it that stops the water from going out, but into the system. And that check valve makes it so that you don't have to prime the pump again. So that there's a little check valve in your heart, in your mind. It says, uh-oh, don't go there. Don't go there. Open the door to that check valve. Open that door to Christ. Let him come in and see what happens. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight." Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. I'm going to say it again. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's heart. Remember that. Absolutely nothing is hidden from God, from his sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. So if we've got to give an account to God, let's make sure that our slate is clean or wiped out because we've asked for forgiveness and gone to that person we've hurt and asked them for forgiveness. It's so super important. God doesn't say these words emptily. God wants us to listen and hear what he's saying. He wants us to really be aware of our words, of our thoughts, of our actions. We are not here to judge each other. God is our judge. If someone has a problem, like I said to him, go to that person and talk to them about it. And point out what the fault is, and then try and help them rectify it. I'm open, you know, I've made lots of mistakes in my life, and I really know there's a whole bunch of them. They would fill a whole 25-gallon jar, and then overflow from that. But God forgave. God gives back life. God helps us to go on from there. And so, let's go on to James 4:13, David, and to the end there, please. "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why do you not even know what will happen tomorrow? What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone then knows good and ought to do and doesn't do it, it's a sin for them." We make plans, but do we ask God into those plans? I can remember as a young man saying, "Well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. You know, I want this and I want that." And sometimes I got what I wanted and I found out was that worth all the trouble? Did I really, really want it that bad that I gave up all this stuff for? Or did I? And after I knew God and came to him 51 years ago, I started to think about what God had in plan for me, in store for me. And it didn't all come together at once. It takes a long time. because I'm kind of thick-headed. I don't want to do my thing. But God had patience with me. And he showed me, you know, Alan, take your time. Don't be in such a rush. I'll show you how to do things. I'll show you where to go. I'll be with you with trouble and darkness. I'll lead you on through the darkness into the light. I'll give you the hope you want. I'll give you what you really need. And it wasn't until about 20 years ago that a man came into my life and really showed me what it was like to be with God. Showed me that I don't have to perform. I just got to be me. I don't have to do anything to love God. He loves me because just of who I am. He showed me a pattern of life. And he showed me how my work hurt people. He showed me how to change my life and to understand things more fully in what God wanted from me. And he's gone on to be with Jesus now. But I still remember. I still hear him saying, you know, Alan, think about what you're doing. Take a moment. Just think about it. Rest a little while. Don't rush into something. Wait. I want to go to Psalm 99, verse 4. I've got everything marked out here, but it takes time to get to where I want to be. Anyway. The king is mighty. He loves justice. You have established equity. In Jacob, you have done what is just and right. God loves us to be honest and fair with people. He wants us to give him the glory. I have tried in the last 25 years or so to give him glory in everything I do because I don't want to hurt him. Jesus is my friend. And if you have a friend, you don't want to hurt them. And it's really important that we think first, ask questions, and then do. And I see David laughing here because he knows me pretty good now. Sometimes we don't think first. We just jump into the pond and say, okay, let's go. And I swim like a rock. So I don't jump into the pond very often because I sink. But I remember things that have happened. And the things I've done just on a spur of the moment and saying, what did I do that for? How stupid. Why did I say that? That was really dumb. Why did I hurt Jesus that time? Because I flew off the handle. And the plans I'd made, as Robbie Burns said, gang after glee, all go up the chimney. Because I didn't include Father and the Son and the Spirit in my life in that moment. We're not to run ahead of God. We're to run beside him. And sometimes after him, because we want to catch up to where he's at, where he's waiting for us. And sometimes when we run after him, there's a slip and fall. But if we keep our eyes there, looking for his plan, we'll find it. We'll find what he wants from us. 2 Chronicles 15:15. All Judah rejoiced about the oath because they had sworn it wholeheartedly. They sought God eagerly. They sought God eagerly. Very, very good words. They sought God eagerly. And he was found by them. Our plans, when they center on what God wants, come to fruition. If they don't, and we run ahead of God or just go on and do our own thing, how many times do we end up thinking, what did I do that for? Why didn't I listen? And there's that still small check in your spirit, the check valve in your spirit that says, you remember when? You remember those words? You remember that check that says, uh-oh, I don't want to do this, but you go ahead and do it anyway. And it's really, really hurtful when that happens because you have to realize it. Hey, I didn't listen to God. I didn't do what he asked me to do. I didn't wait on him. And I ran ahead, or I didn't do, or I said, no, I'm not doing that. And that hurts God, and it hurts you more because you've got to stop and think and go over that thing, and you've got to live with that stupidity you've done, that hurtful thing you've done. And sometimes that really gets you, your gut gets in a knot, you get that acid in your stomach, and you're just totally screwed up. And you're waiting to see what God's going to do. Or you're waiting to see what that other person's going to do that you hurt. And finally you get up the courage to say, you know, God, I screwed up, or that person, hey, buddy, I screwed up. I really screwed up. Would you forgive me? I want to tell you a story about a guy named Herb. He's a guy I meet with every Tuesday morning on Band of Brothers. He's a contractor in Chilliwack. He does siding there. And he got incapacitated for a while. He broke his pelvis. So he's sitting at home doing stuff from home. And his crew is out doing a job. And one of the guys gets in a conflict with the general contractor. And the general contractor says, you're off, buddy. And so the contractor phoned Herb up and told him what happened. He says, okay, we'll get this thing going here. We'll figure it out. And just as soon as he hung up from the contractor, his guy phones him up and said, you know, this happened, this is what happened, and this is, you know, this is my side of the story, my version of it. And Herb says to him, you know, you're going to have to go back in there and you're going to have to apologize. You're going to have to talk to him. And you guys are going to have to come to an understanding. But Herb, first, we're going to pray about this. And the guy didn't pray. The guy's not a Christian or anything. He's just a guy Herb works with. So they prayed. And Herb's man went in and talked to the contractor. He come out after, and he phoned Herb up and said, hey, everything's okay. Prayer, that prayer stuff really works, doesn't it? A token was thrown out. A prayer was said. The peacemaker came in, and God made things work out because someone had cared enough to put God first. Pray with a man who didn't pray, and a miracle happened. Hey, this stuff works. Prayer works. God said, be holy as I am holy. Look to me for everything you do. So that I can be the center part of your life. That's what he's asking right here in James chapter 4, the last four verses there. He's talking to us about being holy like he is holy, about being like him. of trusting God, because God knows the truth. God knows the answers. God will lead you in the way that you should be led. 1 Corinthians 1:17 says, "For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom or eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power." I'm not speaking this thing because I'm smart. I'm speaking this because I want to do what God wants me to do. I want to bring glory to him. I want to glorify his name, not mine. He is the one. And I've told this story before, but about 6 years ago, I guess, I was kept up all night by the Holy Spirit. And he says, "It's not about you, Alan. It's about Jesus. It's not about you, Alan. It's about Jesus." And he kept going over and over and over and over in my soul till I realized it's not about me. It's about doing his will, about knowing Jesus, about putting Jesus first and foremost in everything we do. He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Jesus has been through all this stuff. He knows what's going on. Human, just like you and I. But he listened to his Father. And because he listened to his Father, he was exalted to the highest of highest places. And he knows our troubles. He knows how to fix all our brokenness and get us in the right place. Don't run ahead of God. Seek him first for his will in our lives. Now, I asked David to put up Psalm 89 from a different version that we normally use. It's from my Catholic days when I was with the Catholic Church, and it's got a different translation there. It says, "I will celebrate your love forever, Yahweh. Age on age, my words shall proclaim your faithfulness, for I claim that love is built to last forever, and your faithfulness founded firmly in the heavens. I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have given my servant David my sworn word. I have founded your dynasty to last forever. I have built you a throng to outlast all time. Yahweh, the assembly of the holy ones in heaven applaud the marvel of your faithfulness. Who in the skies can compare with Yahweh? Which of the heaven-born can rival him? God, dreaded in the assembly of the holy ones, great and terrible to all around him, Yahweh, God of Sabbath, who is like you? Mighty Yahweh, clothed in your faithfulness." There is no one like God. And David implored God, "Show me the way. Show me what you want me to do, and I will exalt you." And he wrote some of the most beautiful prayers that the Bible, that the world has ever known. David loved God with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind. And yet David screwed up. But he had within him the guts to say, "God, I really screwed up." In Psalm 51, he spoke about that. "I screwed up real bad. But forgive me. Show me the way. Show me your righteousness. And I will follow you." I want you to look up Psalm 51 on your own and read it. Read how David apologized to God, stood up and took it like a man or a woman, and yet surrendered again to him and said, God, I know your ways. I want to be back with you. I want my words to be right with you. I want my life to be right with you. And so he writes Psalm 89. And it is a beautiful, beautiful psalm, which I learned as a song when I was a kid, when a young man. And it was really, I still remember it. I will celebrate your love forever, Yahweh. My words proclaim your love, for I claim that love is built to last forever, founded firm, your faithfulness. When you remember something, a psalm in a song, you never forget it. You never forget it. You can sing the Bible, and it totally is remembered. I don't know why, but when we sing something, we remember it. If God can work through me, he can work through you. Don't be afraid to let God step into your heart, step into your life. Step into the depths of your being. Sometimes it hurts. There's no getting away from it. Sometimes it really hurts. But then the light comes. And the forgiveness comes. And hope returns. And joy returns. And life returns. I've been really listening to a lot of Francis Chan's talks. And Francis Chan had to change his whole way of thinking. He was a very, very well-known he's a very, very well-known preacher. But he said, I was in it for my glory. And he had to change his attitude. Now it's all about Jesus. He only worries about pleasing God. Only worries about hearing what God has to say. And he's not afraid to say it out loud. He really, in one talk, he really said, the people in this audience have got a lot to think about. Your lives have got to be changed. And these were pastors, big name pastors and stuff. And he put it right to them. And one thing I wrote down here that I really, really love about what he said is, where there is love and mercy, there's neither fear nor ignorance. Where there is love and mercy, there's neither fear nor ignorance. Where there's neither fear nor ignorance. When we love the way God wants us to love, when we speak the way God wants us to speak, when we draw near him, He will become first and foremost. We die so that he can become greater. We die so that he can become greater. That's what it's all about. Death to me, life to him. Hope in him. I want to leave you with one thing, and that is Galatians 5. I don't know whether I wrote it marked out here or not, but Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Get the right page here, we'll be laughing. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these things there is no law. Everything else is a law to. This is a law to the heart. A law that springs from God's love for us. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against these there is no law. None whatsoever. So when we go out into the world where chaos is prevailing, where everything is upside down, where everybody is doing their own thing and wants you to turn away from the one true God, be patient with them. Be kind to them. Listen to them, but say, there's a better way. They don't have to like it, but you'll be at peace with yourself. You'll find that God will help you out through all these difficulties. And some of the most persecuted people are the happiest people because they know where their reward is, know where their life is. And don't kid yourselves, we're going to be coming into persecution here very shortly. And I really believe that because there's a lot of stuff going on in our schools that is totally screwed up and unhealthy and totally ungodly. But God will deal with it. We just have to speak to the people and say, okay, this is what we believe and we're going to stick by our belief. We're not turning our back on it. So I just ask you to really think about who God is, about what we can do to make things better for our people, for the people around us, for the people in our sphere of influence. Wherever we work, wherever we play, wherever we pray, reverence of God, no enemy can enter in. If we revere God, the devil can't get into us. He just has no entrance. So if we love God, and we love our fellow man, regardless of the hurts, regardless of the crap that goes on around us, let's love God. Let's love the people around us, even if they're wrong. But let's correct in love and peace and mercy. And if they don't want to hear, you've done what God has called you to do. So, Father, we just thank you for today. I thank you for the words you have had me speak. I thank you for the words of James, who teaches us that we have to really understand who you are and the magnificence of who you are. And we just bless you, Father. We ask you to help us to be your friend. Help us to walk into your home, Father, with reverence and awe and love. And help us to love Jesus more and more each day and love each other the same way. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.